This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Hi, I'm John Meacham, the host of Cadence 13's new podcast, Fate of Fact, on how America and its political parties got to where we are today. Available now on Odyssey, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk. On demand audio.
We're in for Mark Reardon here on 97.1 FM Talk. Great to be back on the air in St. Louis. Hopefully the technical issues don't deter me being asked back. But maybe it's not the technical issues, Joe. Maybe it's just your subject matter. Maybe. I don't know. We'll just have to go. It's great to be on here today, at least. And thank you for everyone back in St. Louis helping out with the early in the show technical issues that we had. Great crew, and always a pleasure working with you guys. We are joined now by Steve Milloy. He is a former Trump-Pence EPA transition team member and founder of JunkScience.com. Steve, welcome back to the show.
Hey, Joe. Thanks for having me.
Steve, it was announced that former congressman and former candidate for New York Governor Lee Zeldin, who I have talked to a few times, will be heading up the EPA. What should his first line of business be?
Well, his first line of business is going to be to get our economy going again. And, you know, people don't think of the EPA necessarily in terms of the economy, but EPA has been a major weapon of Democrats against our economy through the war on fossil fuels. So there's a whole lot of things that he can do. We've got a clamp down on the EPA, and that will allow our energy industry to develop. But then we've got to also fix the EPA at the same time to make sure that our energy industry can thrive in the future.
What are some of these handcuffing regulations that the Biden administration has put on, and what did they put a stop to for things that President Trump had gotten going?
Yeah, well, originally, you know, it's really the started with the Obama Biden administration, then went into the Biden Harris administration. There was that brief, you know, too short interregnum there, 4 years with Donald Trump. You know, we in Trump one, we had rolled back a lot of the war on coal, war on energy, global warming nonsense of the Obama administration, but then Biden just rolled it back. So, you know, we're going to have to get rid of all that stuff again. The war on coal was especially harmful, especially in St. Louis. You know, the biggest coal companies that were headquartered in St. Louis, Peabody Arch, went belly up. And so, you know, we've got to bring all this stuff back, especially coal. Coal is a great form of generating electricity. It's clean and it's cheap. And we should take all that wonderful natural gas we have and export it to Europe and Asia, where they're going to pay six times more for it than U.S. utilities.
You know, we hear so much about the Keystone Pipeline, Steve. What will it take to get that back to being a reality?
Well, you know, President Trump's going to have to have, you know, he's going to have all new appointees across all the agencies, including the agency that approves pipelines, FERC, Federal Energy Regulatory Commission. We're also, you know, and the environment's got to be so favorable that investors want to come back in, because the company that did Keystone XL, TransCanada, you know, it was, you know, Biden canceled their permits. They lost in court. You know, they're probably not interested in America anymore. But I think that Trump can, you know, change the environment, make it more friendly, and get people. And if not TransCanada, other people will build pipelines. You know, we need more pipelines. We need more fossil fuel plants. We need more fossil fuels. We need nuclear. Nuclear would be great as well. There's lots of things that can happen, but we've been held back for decades now by, you know, the regulatory establishment. You know, my bete noir is EPA. EPA does an awful lot of overregulation. They claim they're doing everything for public health and for the environment. Nonsense. Most of it's just for a political agenda. I've been working on EPA issues for 35 years. Most of what they've done, almost everything they've done, has cost more than the benefits it's produced. So that is one agency that you know, is going to have to be clamped down on.
You speak about, you know, the regulations, and I don't want to look too far into the future, and I don't want to think of this happening, but let's say 4 years from now, the Democrats are back in there. Is there a way for the EPA to push back on regulations that would make it difficult for another administration to just roll those back?
Yes and no. I mean, whatever one administration can do, the next administration can roll back, right? To really fix EPA permanently, we need to get Congress involved. Now, what I said is not exactly true, because we did have a lot of help from the Supreme Court during the Biden years. The Supreme Court came out with two very major decisions that are going to really hamstring EPA's ability to issue regulations. However, you know, the Biden administration was so rogue that it didn't even care what the Supreme Court said. So, you know, unfortunately, this is just the nature of America right now. We're a polarized nation. We're about equal vote-wise. And, you know, it's going to be this tug of war until we get enough of one side to decide what direction we're going to go in. That's just the way it is.
Steve, how do we get states like the one I'm currently sitting in, New York, how do we discourage them from continuing with their EV mandate, right? I mean, in New York State, Governor Kathy Hochul doesn't want to see gasoline after 2035. How does the federal government make that so it's impossible for a state like New York to say goodbye to gas?
Well, all you got to do is take away the subsidies. Without subsidies, there's no EV industry, because there's nobody paying higher prices for EVs. It's just not worth it. You know, there's all sorts of money in the Inflation Reduction Act. You know, President Trump's position is that, you know, if we're going to spend that money, and we're talking about $1 trillion, if we're going to actually spend that money, then it should go to useful things like maybe infrastructure, but not EVs, windmills, and solar panels.
Speaking of regulations, which, you know, the EPA, when I think EPA, Steve, all I think about is regulations. It really doesn't go much further than that. But we hear so much about the Paris Climate Accord. What is the America's part in that right now, and how do you get out of it?
Well, so this is really interesting. The Paris Climate Accord, the Obama and then the Biden administration signed it as an executive agreement. So they didn't want to call it a treaty, because treaty would require Senate ratification, and they could never get that ratified in the Senate, even when Democrats ran the Senate. There's just not enough Democrat senators. So they've treated it as an executive agreement. President Trump in Trump 1.0 tried to get out of the agreement per the terms of the agreement, and of course that didn't work. Biden just brought us back in. So, you know, my recommendation for the president, president-elect, is that we treat the Paris Climate Accord as it is. It's a treaty. So it should just be submitted to the Senate. And once it's in the Senate, we're basically out of it unless the Senate ratifies it and there's no...
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Hi, I'm John Meacham, the host of Cadence 13's new podcast, Fate of Fact, on how America and its political parties got to where we are today. Available now on Odyssey, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The way that's going to happen.
You know, Steve, I want to go back to the EV thing real quick, because obviously Elon Musk has been very close to President Trump, and, you know, Elon Musk has Tesla, which are EVs. Is there any threat that Elon might get the presidency here and some of this stuff might go the way of EVs?
Well, you know, the president was pretty tough against the EV mandate. He's not against EVs. He's against the EV mandate. I think Musk has a pretty good niche business going. He sells cool cars to, you know, wealthy people. He doesn't really need the tax breaks. He doesn't need the mandate. The rest of the EV industry does need tax breaks and mandates. So President Trump is, you know, apparently Musk is okay with getting rid of the mandate and the subsidies, because the subsidies are going to go away too. So if he's okay with that, well, you know, he's going to be able to sell EVs, which is fine. The problem is the mandate and subsidies.
We hear so much about, as you talked about, getting, you know, making America energy dependent again. I mean, it's just so interesting how people are actually against that. It never made sense to me. But being energy dependent, you have that fracking. How does fracking play into it? And is fracking a clean way to get oil, or does the other side have a point?
Yeah. Well, most people don't realize this. You know, fracking is not just some weird way of producing oil. It's how we produce 90% of the oil we produce. So if we're going to be energy dominant again, we need to do fracking. And there's nothing wrong with fracking. EPA, as hard as it's tried, even under Obama and under Biden, they're not able to shut down fracking because fracking is done cleanly. You know, there's never been any scientific evidence showing that fracking is causing any harm. You know, emissions-driven warming, of course, climate change, global warming, all that's a hoax. So fracking is just a fantastic technology. You know, Kamala Harris could never have banned it because the president can't ban it, but she could have issued, you know, she could have killed it through, you know, 1,000 cuts, all these different regulations. President Trump's not going to do that. He is going to, you know, he's going to boost all sectors of our energy production. He's going to get rid of the Biden moratorium on liquefied natural gas export terminals. You know, once, as I mentioned earlier, we need to be taking all that fracked gas and exporting it to Europe and Asia. Well, they'll pay a lot more for it.
Well, I'm happy to hear that because as a Bills fan, our owner got his billions by fracking, and I would hate to see that go away.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, you know, we're going to become energy dominant again. Prices are going to be fair. You know, prices can't go to zero because then we're not going to have an oil and gas industry or a coal industry. So you got to pay a little bit. But, you know, you don't have to pay $5, $6 for, you know, a gallon of gasoline. And we don't have to leave OPEC in charge of the price of oil. We should be in charge of the price of oil. When President Trump was president the first time, we were in charge of the oil. As soon as Biden became president, he put OPEC back in charge. Now President Trump is going to seize control of the global oil market again, and we are going to be large and in charge.
Now, I don't want to make it sound like I'm anti-EV, because if someone had a Cybertruck, I'd love to go for a ride in it. But, you know, we hear, and as you said, this hoax about global warming and the climate crisis and all this stuff. But when you look at the batteries of these EVs, when they've exceeded their life, when they're no longer useful, is it true these things are worse for the earth than gas and oil can ever be?
Well, you just can't throw them away. You can't just, like, put them in a dump. You know, if you've got lithium ion batteries for like your weed eater or whatever, you're not supposed to just throw it in the garbage because they've got all sorts of, you know, elements and metals in there, minerals that, you know, can be toxic. So you've got to take care of them in a special way. You know, these things, batteries, battery powered stuff has their uses. I don't really see the advantage of, you know, EVs. What does it get you? It's not cleaner. It doesn't change the air quality. It does not change the climate. It just costs more. It's less convenient. But if you want one, you can have one. I just don't want to subsidize it. You know, I mean, the problem with all this stuff is once again, it's the government mandates and the government use of taxpayer money to subsidize it. That's why people are so, you know, get riled up about EVs. You know, the government's got no, where in the Constitution does it say the government can pick and choose consumer products? Nowhere.
Yeah, Steve, how much money does the EPA take away, and how much could we take away from what the EPA takes away every year?
Well, the EPA's budget is about $11 billion, but that's just like the tip of the iceberg of what it costs us. I mean, it's got regulations that cost billions and billions and billions of, you know, countless billions of dollars per year, more than $100 billion a year. And, I mean, you know, this is hurting our economy. One of the reasons all our jobs have gone off to China and India and Vietnam and places like that is because there's no EPA over there. I mean, we have such, you know, strict EPA regulations. They don't even make any sense anymore. They just get tightened just because you know, the bureaucrats have nothing else to do, and they don't want to see their programs go away. They're not producing any public health benefits. They're not producing any environmental benefits. It's just all cost. And so one of the things, you know, President Trump can do is make sure that if we have new regulations, that the benefits actually exceed the costs, which hasn't been done since the Reagan administration.
Steve, before I let you go, there's one thing, and this is just curiosity on my mind, because we have a lot of them around where I am, and half of them don't work, and they can't replace them because the company that built them is out of business. Right. Wind energy and these windmills. How important is wind energy, and are windmills, windmills good for the environment or anti-productive?
Well, they're counterproductive. I mean, they don't, you know, once again, this is something that without subsidies and mandates, they don't exist. Nobody would have this stuff. Windmills permanently destroy the land. You know, even if you were to take the windmill down, you still have the concrete rebar foundation. And who's going to do that? And, you know, they kill birds in the ocean. They kill whales, porpoises, and dolphins. You know, the Biden administration permitted the offshore wind industry to kill twice as many endangered right whales as are thought to exist, thousands and thousands of porpoises and dolphins. It's crazy. It's not changing the climate. It's not improving the environment. They kill birds, you know, great birds, eagles, bats. I mean, it's just a disaster. Of course, what do you expect from, you know, government policy like that? So, you know, and President Trump hates wind, hates wind turbines. He thinks they're ugly. Plus, you know, they kill whales and all that kind of stuff. So, but, you know, we've got this law, the Inflation Reduction Act, that provides, you know, all this money, hundreds of billions of dollars for wind. So, and that money has been used to purchase Republican politicians. So, you know, it's not going to be that easy, because now we've got Republicans that, that live in states where there's wind. And so they defend the wind because it means jobs in their states. We've got to end this whole environmental scam.
Well, Steve, let me tell you this. I'm hoping the lessons learned in the first administration by President-elect Trump means that he can hit the ground running a lot quicker. And with the help of Lee Zeldin, I'm hoping for some great turnarounds at the EPA. And I always appreciate talking with you, Steve, and your insight.
All right, Joe, thank you
for all the work you do.
Yep.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Hi, I'm John Meacham, the host of Cadence 13's new podcast, Fate of Fact, on how America and its political parties got to where we are today. Available now on Odyssey, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.